Most welcome. Good morning, Rodrigo. Happy to see you here. Good morning, Jill. Happy to see you here. It was interesting, this Shabbat meeting, following, yes, the image of a shoe in the Lord's, the bodily, let's say, finite life, the bodily finite life are perceived as a shoe. The bodily finite life are perceived or is perceived as a shoe. Yes. And the soul is just taking a ride. Yes. Since the soul is infinite and the shoe is finite. So this is what it goes. Think about what we think. It's funny because what we take as me, yes, as me, is basically a shoe. Yes. Can you capture can you sense the image? What we perceive as me, name, born in such and such address, is basically a shoe, a placeholder. Yes? What we think is me is basically a shoe. There is a song. Good morning, Cindy. Happy to see you here. There is a song by a songwriter. He passed away. Hebrew songwriter, his name is Meir Ariel, and there is a song by him called Lo Titpos Oti, You Cannot Catch Me. And this is basically a dialogue between human and infinite consciousness or eternal consciousness, that eternity says to man, to human, you cannot catch me. Whatever you do, Boker Tov, whatever you do, you cannot catch me. Why? Why finite cannot catch infinite? Yes, because if there's a catcher or there's a catch, it implies that there are two, the catcher and the caught, the thinker and the thought. Therefore, he sings in the song, Lo titpos oti, lo titpos oti, lo titpos oti. You cannot catch me, you cannot catch me, you cannot catch me in English because I'm not me. I'm not a thing. Because me is a thing. Like a shoe is a thing. And me is like a shoe. So what does it mean again, returning to the conversation of the bush? Remove thy shoes, yes, from thy feet. Remove what? The finite self. The thing. Yes? Yes. So, says the poet, you cannot catch me. Or, it's not the poet, but the poem says, you cannot catch me. Because if we can catch something, it means there's a catcher. There is a game in English. I was trying to find its name. Jill, here you can testify on English games and their names in English. When children play the game, when somebody's catching the other, it is called tag. I just tried to find before class. Is it called tag? Yes. So when children are playing, there's someone is running, trying to catch the others. They call it in Hebrew, tofeset, catcher. I try to find out how it is called in English, called tag, because one child is catching the other or touching the other, it means a catch, so that it means it's two. But in this poem, he says, you cannot catch me, because me is not a thing, and there is no me. So what is the point of trying to catch anything? Also in life. What is the point of catching? What season, let's say, people try to search for seasons to find the right topographical map, the right weather map or application of rain, of temperature. Yes, Jill, we're happy to hear you. And whatever we try, or whatever man is trying along, let's say, the matrix of time to catch, it is all as fail. It's failing to catch. people always offer us the great application, the great formula that can conceive life. It is impossible, because once there is, let's say, a formula, a theory, it means or implies that there is two, the theory and life, the formula and life, and it's not two, it's none of the many. Is it understood? Therefore, he sings, Lotit posoti, you cannot catch me, because I'm not me, I'm not a thing. So there is no point. And if we go deeper to this line, the song, I mean, to this line, to this phrase or this verse, you cannot catch me. So we cannot catch me. It doesn't help us to think about me all the time, because me does not exist. Jill, as much as we think, Felipe, about me, my life, la 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 la, there isn't. So as much as we try, how many hours and years, and this is mechanically happening, it is mechanically happening to all of us all the time, there is no use to do it. Just, okay, it's mechanical, and if you hear this, you try to capture yourself, so to speak, what is your nature, what is your preferences in taste, in art, you know, this is how it goes, what fits this figure called me, yes, in music, in art, in fashion, yes? You can never catch it, so just drop it. It's impossible to catch it. Because who is offering this game of catching, or in English they call it tag? Who is offering this game all the time? Cat and mice. Mouse. Who is offering this game? The brain. The brain in Hebrew, moach. Yes, the value of 48. This is 2 days. Each day is 24 hours. Moach. Yes, brain is 48. Is 2 days. This is the, how do you say, the metaphor for duality. Always offer you. I give you a concept. Yes, you are like this, you are like that. You like this music, you don't like that music. You like this rice, you don't like that potato. You like this drink, you don't like this. Yes, ice cream and so on. I will offer, the brain is just manufacturing all the time different drafts. And very contradicting drafts of me, which never exist. What's never existed before is not existed and will never exist in the future. Just this is what it does. Issues more and more draft of myself that we can reject or we can embrace. It always goes on the poles, either reject it or embrace it. And none of those versions or drafts is who we are. But those drafts that the brain invents, they are very good, examples to struggle with. They're very good demons or images to struggle with. Once the brain comes with an image of, I like this ice cream or I like this kind of fruit, immediately will come a second version in which you don't like or you'd rather something else, or your friend like popcorn and you like potato, and here you have the two. This is the art. This is infinite art of the brain. As long as someone is alive, dressed in a body, this is the art of the brain to bring out more and more drafts, versions of yourselves, of your life, or figures in your life moving, how you pro them or against them without even noticing. This is what it does. So says the poem, you cannot catch me to the brain. You cannot catch whatever you do, and everybody has this mechanism inside of him and her called brain that try to catch things all the time. To be the master of, if I catch something, it means that I have it all. So am I the winner? The winner has it all, yes? So just quit. Drop it. It's impossible to catch because there's nothing to catch. This is it. There's nothing to catch. Questions: Jill, Felipe, Rodrigo, Cindy. Questions or sharing? Cindy's writing, I was wondering this morning why we have feelings. Our feelings are, more often than not, the root motivation of the behavior, beliefs. Yes, but it's not you. You say, oh, feeling seems to be heavy. Yes, but those feelings are not you, and you are not feeling them. It's something that moves. Yesterday I shared it in a phone conversation. Hello, can you hear now at the moment? Is there a sound coming? Yes, I'm sorry. Let's try the air condition. Maybe it just drops. 1 second. So to Cindy's question about heavy feelings, and when we feel things, so to speak, when we feel, if like we are capable of feeling anything. Just an example of sharing. We were sitting in a place which is in open nature, drinking, and suddenly came a blast of very, very hot air. And it was not from a truck. It was not from the traffic. It just blast of very hot air from the east. And it just moved through the people. It was the people. At the same moment, it's just not moving through, but it was the people. And I asked, Andrea, do you feel this blast of hot, very, very hot, like somebody opens, let's say, an engine of an airplane on you like that? But it was not mechanical, just came from the air. Yes. And then, at a split of a second, suddenly came a wind, a fresh, cold wind from the west. And this is quite interesting. In English, we say weather. In Hebrew, we say mezeg avir, the merge of air. And you could feel how it is just, it's, nobody did it. There was no engineering behind it. It just came a blast of hot air, like from, I don't know, yes, like you melt iron. And then at switch of a second, just cold and fresh air from the west. And who did it? No one. Where does it come? No one. And we think, so if you don't, if you don't sit in this position and you're open to what is happening, people say, oh, suddenly I feel so heavy. I feel the bumps of the heat in my brain. I feel sometimes when the sun is too hot, you feel like pop in the brain, in the head, you feel pop. So I feel bad. I'm fainting. And suddenly when you enter air conditioning, you feel good. But we are not capable of feeling. This is what is happening in the moment. So when it's very hot, we feel like heavy or like slugs, you know. And when it's fresh, you feel like cheer and happy and like swinging on a spring. In spring. Good afternoon, Abigail. But it's not who we are, Jill or Cindy, Rodrigo, Felipe, and Abigail. When there's like different, let's say, senses of feeling, we are not the feelers. This is what is happening in the world. If you could speak to a bee, communicate to a bee, to a butterfly, to a bird. Today, I noticed something very interesting. They informed that it's going to be a very, very hot day. And I was standing next to the bus station trying to catch a bit of a shade of a tree. And there was a sign, street sign, that tells the people this is the shore. So like half of a billboard, let's say, size. And there was a bird called Mine. She was parking at the shade of the billboard. The bird. So we think of, about ourselves, oh, we're humans. Da, da, da. The bird, as a human, were looking for shade. She was standing behind a billboard shade. I was standing next to the palm. But it's too hot to carry it. So you look to a bit for relief. It's not that we are looking. This is how life is. So, and we are not capable of feeling heaviness. If the air in a way gets heavy and warm and, let's say, how to say, tuned with dust, it influences everything. It's not our thoughts. It's not our feelings. It's not our sentiments. Yes? Imagine we were speaking, opening the conversation about the shoes, about Moses in the burning bush. And we say that the sages are calling the shoes, what we call me, it's basically a shoe. Yes, what we call me, my life, it's basically a shoe, a finite shoe, that the infinite consciousness just take a ride in this shoe. But we call this shoe my body, me, ta 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 ta. But Rodrigo associates himself with his shoe. Also, Cindy associates herself with a shoe called me. But there is no Cindy, and there is no me, and there is no shoe. Because Cindy and Rodrigo and Jill and Abigail and Felipe and so will always limit themselves to the size, to the portion of the shoe, to the form, to the size, to the appearance of the shoe. So how can infinite life can be hosted by a finite shoe called me? It can't. Therefore, your thoughts, your feelings, your sentiments are not yours. You don't own a heavy moment. It's just a heavy moment moves. And as a shoe, so to speak, there's a sense of heaviness, but it's not infinite. It's just something, a ripple on the water. Because people tend, this is what happens to all of us. We tend to associate ourselves to a heavy moment, a heavy memory, yes? But this is what the brain does, because the brain is what? The best hunter you could ever find. The brain is the best hunter you could ever find. Its name, in biblical terms, is Nimrod. It catches everything. And it lures you to think that you are your brain. This is the art of Nimrod. This is the art of the brain. So whatever thought arises in you, this is the hunter. Plays what? Tag. Plays catch me. This is what it does. A hunter in Hebrew is tsayad. 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 Comes from the side. Tad. Yes? Always comes from the side, like you can catch something. Yes? Like you can take for instance your thumb and your pointer finger. There are two. Your thumb. And your pointer finger, and try to minimize the space between them like you can catch a pen. Yes? If you can catch a pen. Yes, it means that there are two. This is what the brain does. This is the art of Nimrod. This is what Nimrod does. Nimrod is not just a historical figure. Yes. Yes. Is it Esav which is exhausted? Maybe we are exhausted of this hunt. To hunt something that does not exist. To hunt the greatest theme of the century. Maybe we are exhausted also of telling ourselves all kinds of foolishness stories about ourselves, so to speak, about our story, about our histories. And so maybe we are, it's exhausting. This is what it does. It's not Esav who lived in the book of called Bible. It's not the power of the Bible. It's happening now. You know, you say biblical. This is, we are, it's exhausting. Like you say, it's comes something heavy and I feel heavy. It's not you. You're lured to think that this is you. And I say, it's not you. It's exhausting to think about this all the time. It's exhausting to think about something that has no existence. It's just exhausting. There's no use in it. Use, use in it. To catch something that not exist. Yes, yes. Of course it's exhausting. And people coming, oh, I'm so exhausted from thinking about myself, about my story, about my life. I'm already limping. Of course. It does not exist. So, because what happens is that many, many organizations, websites, they offer like self-help. They offer you the right umbrella, the right concept to save you from yourself. They try a lot and offer. This weekend, this retreat, 400 retreats and so. But there's nothing to be saved from. There's nothing to be saved from. Life is living by us, through us. And life, what happens, whatever life brings about, this is life, regardless of our opinion, tendencies, preferences, and so. It just moves like that. We telling ourselves all kinds of story. We collect few details together and bundle it into a story and call this story, this is my life. Few details. But life, this is what life does. And when life continues, the body is left behind. Yes, like a balloon that the air left it. It just looks like what a gummy, just torn gummy on the ground. Yes. And life continues. And we call this gummy, this balloon, me. You see the problem? Me, the balloon, the shoe. And we are so troubled about it. Why should we be troubled? It does not exist. Infinite consciousness or life will move through us as it wishes, as it wants, in the moment, without us noticing, interfering, understanding any of it. So why to worry? We are not in charge of our breathing, about our pulse, about the lungs. We are not. So how? How we can be bothered of what is happening? We don't even perceive what is happening. Because if we could perceive, it means that there is a perceiver and there's two, the perceived and the perceiver, and there isn't. So just quit on this idea that we perceive anything, that we understand anything. There's only life. Quit on this idea of hello, can you hear now at the moment? The sound is coming at the moment. Can you hear? Yes, yes. I'm sorry. It's falling all the time. I don't know why. Yes. Where were we at the last sentence? So, since we are not in charge, so why to bother? Why to worry? Yes, about something which does not exist. If we think about ourselves as Rodrigo, as Jill, as Cindy, Abigail, Felipe, we think about ourselves as separate entities. Like there's a world and there's like different people also, but it ain't. What we learn about ourselves as names is something that our little brain acquired when we were toddlers. Yes? When baby is born, at the first few hours, whether he's being fed by his mother or by a nurse via bottle in the hospital, the baby does not have a notion of separated self from the world. This process will happen through the 2.5 years of his life. So this is a distort what we perceive, or the way we perceive ourselves as separated entities, is just distorted image in the mirror. Yes? It doesn't have life of its own. We cannot live by ourselves here, or through the power of ourselves. We cannot live without the sun, without the moon, without the air, without the water. We can't. Any questions, Rodrigo, Jill, Cindy, Abigail, Felipe, questions? So going back to this song, you cannot catch me. It is impossible to catch, so to speak, me, because there is no me. There is no me. Yes, Cindy, this message is truly revolutionary. We are all a bit or a lot, yes? Programmed, yes, 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 the truth, yes. All of us are conditioned and programmed, all of us, yes? Because when there's a new life appearing here as a baby, this baby already comes with conditions, what he likes or he doesn't like. Music, you will be surprised, but babies are already coming with musical preferences. They're coming here already, yes? With musical preferences, tendency to colors, to art, all kinds of talents and so. So there is program. And the program is great because this is what the world needs. Actors, which are already programmed. But this is not who we are. This is not who we are. And whatever happens, let's say to someone, is not who he is. Yes? People think, oh, it happened to me. And since I did something, it happened to me in return. It doesn't work like this. Life do not work like this. Yes? The linear way we think will always seduce us to believe in a cause and effect. Cause and effect is also a father and a son. Yes, this is the first example. This is linear thinking. And if you follow what is happening through you along the day, you will notice that a thought is coming to you and says, it happened because this and that happened previously. Follow this tendency during the day, one day, in the evening when you sit with yourself in peace, you don't have to run, you don't have to appear to meetings, and you will see at least once a day will pop a thought and tell you, this happened, X happened because previously Y happened. This is a linear thinking. This is how the brain works. There is always something and something that happens before, and there are two. And the brain will offer you a draft, a connection between the two. Yes, Jill? I was just reading yesterday that our brains are quick to impose some kind of meaning or narrative on any event that is happening, even if it leaves us feeling worse. I wonder why that is the brain choice. The brain does not have a choice. Yes? This is how it is wired. This is how it works. The brain does not have a choice. Does not have a choice. Yes? Like there's a beautiful example in the Bible that when Noah, after they came out from the ark, Noah planted a vineyard. Yes? He had a little branch and he kept it in the flood, in the ark. And when the flood ended and the earth was dry, they left the ark and Noah had a little branch, a twig of a vine, and he planted this vine that to make a vineyard because there was a destruction of the world. So he planted it and the vine grew and also came grapes, and they made from the grapes, they made wine. And Noah, he drank from the wine and got drunk. And he was there lying in his tent, like drunk. And Ham is the name of his son. I'm trying to write it here, Ham. In English, we say Ham, yes. Ham saw him sleeping drunk in the tent, half dressed, let's say. And he immediately came out of the tent announcing everyone, yes, that he saw the origin of things, so to speak. And then when Noah came out from this drunkenness mode, he cursed him. Now, if you don't think of Ham as historical figure, this is how the brain is programmed. Because Ham, it means also hot, but when you switch the letters, is Moach. This is how the brain is wired. Moach. Moach. The brain, whatever you show the brain or offer the brain something, he will claim ownership, understanding of what he sees like a total truth, and will inform everyone. Yes? Will inform everyone. Therefore, Noach cursed. Not Ham, yes, but a descendant of Ham, which is Canaan. Canaan is cursed, yes? Because why not to curse Ham himself? This is the question. He could curse Ham. Uh-huh. True or not true? He could. But he did not curse Ham. He did not curse the brain, because this is how the brain is wired. We don't have any control of the wiring, of the programming. But what he cursed is the outcomes. If you walk with this narration, comes Arur Knaan, Canaan is cursed. Because what comes as outcomes from this claiming will bring you into trouble, if you believe this. Yes? And Weinreb beautifully writes about Ham in Roots of the Bible. It's not just Ham. People tend to think that Ham is a historical figure, the son of Noah or so. No, this is the eyes and science. Science always claim that we know everything once we put it under the lens, under the microscope, we open the DNA. We know everything. This is the source of life. Once the scientists decoded the DNA, they have the power in their hands, like they did in Switzerland with nuclear, they have a nuclear tunnel. They want to find the particle in which God is dwelling. And here is a story. It happened for real. About science and cloning, and people think that they know everything. There was a couple in America, husband and wife, and they had very little dog. I don't know how to call him. Very little dog, like, I don't know, 20-centimeter dog. They were very attached to the dog, and the wife was having all the time, how do you say, diabetic, used to faint from diabetic attack. And the dog, this very little dog, used to notice, yes, the dog, though very, very tiny, he used to notice when she's fainting, she has a stress from over sugar, used to faint. And the dog used to climb on the sofa when she used to faint and then lick her face that she will like revive herself and notice that she's like passed out or so. So were the relations between the couple, husband and wife, and their little baby tiny dog. One day, this little baby tiny dog just died. And it's real. It's a real story. It's not invention. And they were so upset and didn't know what to do. But they had this idea of what? Going to someone who will take the DNA from the dead dog, little tiny dead dog, will take the DNA and will, how do you say, clone it. Yes, that they will have another dog that will notice that she's fainting whenever she has a diabetic attack and lick her face and she will revive because they were very, very attached to this little tiny miserable dog. So, and they found people who took the dead body of the little tiny dog and managed to take this DNA, whatever it is, matter. And to be sure, this couple tell these doctors or these services to be sure and make us 3 clones of this deceased dog. To be sure that one might die, to be sure, make us 3 clones. And they did, the scientists. And this couple got one day clone, like a series of 3 dogs, looking the same as the previous dog looked. They had the same spark on the fur, the same colors, the same spots. 3 clones, yes? Like the type that died. They looked the same. Everything was the same. The color of the hair, the shape of the hair. Here comes a ripple above the eye. Everything was. But one thing really bothered them. Though they were cloned with the same DNA matter of the previous ancestor, they did not behave like him. None of them. And none of them noticed that she fainted on the sofa from over sugar. They did not give a damn. And nobody noticed. And of course, if they did not notice, they did not even come on the sofa to lick her face. So it's not a clone. So though they were carrying, so to speak, the same DNA of the deceased dog, they were living, or they are living, in the present. And whatever comes, yes, in the world, in the spirit, in the air that they are inhaling, this is who they are. Do you understand the story? Scientists, and this is the story of Ham, of the brain of science, will always offers us, so to speak, solutions that are coming from the matter. Yes? But we are none of the matter. Life is none from the matter. Yes? Therefore, returning to Noah's curse, curses Canaan, the descendants of Ham, what the brain can bring about. This illusion, yes, that we can control anything. It was a dog. This was the relation for the dog and the time. You know, I heard from another lady not long ago that she was having very good, nice relations with the dog. I mean, it was like Labrador, and she used to take him to the garden and very trust relations. And one day he died. And she could not stand this, suddenly the lack of relations. And she took another dog, and she said it was not the same relations. And people also, there was a couple who lost a daughter in a car accident. And they tried. They were young. I mean, they lost her. She was 18. She was an army soldier. And they tried again. They already were having 3 children. She was the eldest daughter, the first child. She died in an army accident. and they organized themselves, and they could not deal with the loss, so they conceived and delivered another baby daughter. It came by nature, as it is. They named the new daughter they named the new daughter with the name of the settlement that the first daughter died. They gave her the name of the settlement in which the first daughter died. And the mother told one of the friends that came to converse with them from time to time that though they have a new baby daughter and she's great and she's healthy and smiling and happy, it's not the same. They wanted to compensate. And nature gave it. It's not happening to everyone that nature gives it, you know, between the parents. Sometimes they borrow eggs and sperms and glasses and all kinds of things. But they were shocked that it's not the same relationship, because they're not who they are. When the first daughter were born, they were in the 20s, regardless of the age, yes? They were who they were at the time, the baby came at the time, and it's not separated entities. So it doesn't matter if it's regarding to clone dogs or baby dogs or people trying to bring about new life to come. You cannot compensate, because what is the problem of compensation? What is the logical problem of compensation? There is a logical problem in it. It means that there are two. Something happened, you don't want it, you don't agree to it, and you need to compensate. It means that there are two. You can't. Many people coming from poor families, let's say, and they grew in times of war when there was a lack for many years, and when they become older or adult, they always say this story: I did not have, there was a war, therefore they want more and more. They come from compensation in their mind. They come to compensate. But what is the problem of, so to speak, compensating? At the moment you look or you remember event or moment in the past, so there are two moments, now and the past, and you try to make the distance, yes? But there isn't any distance, and there's nothing to compensate. Nothing to compensate, nothing to be sorry for, and nothing to catch. Simple. Nothing to be saved from. Life is not a problem that we need to solve. And when the brains offer you all kinds of, let's say, different dishes, all kinds of concept, theories, what you like, what you don't like, what taste you'd rather, what music you'd prefer, okay, let it go to sleep somewhere, and it's not me, it has nothing to do with me, you can laugh at it and continue. Did you notice that when we laugh or when we smile, yes, the lips are rising, like a smile or a laugh is a part of a cycle, yes? A smile or a laugh. This is the name of Isaac. He shall laugh, because Isaac does not come from linear thinking. A smile, a laugh that comes from somewhere. You don't know where does a laugh comes from. Yes, it doesn't come from linear thinking. It just burst into this life, and somebody is having a laugh or is laughing. So if, and this is the, how do you say, the sages say this is the last trial of Abraham. If Isaac is not coming from linear thinking, cause and effect, because he's coming from the infinite perspective, they say infinite is around, this is, they try to give it a form, though it's formless, but so if Isaac comes from infinite perspective, which is round, here you find, so to speak, the seduction of Abram's brain to offer him to bring his son as Isaac. Because the English Bible, this is another, first of all, there's Isaac does not come from linear thinking. Isaac does not come from cause and effect, father and son. But Abraham could not. And he was in a way seduced to this offering of his own brain. Plus, there is another angle. The Bible says, using those words, if you want to look through the Bible's lens, Ha'alehu le'ula, rise him as a rise. The English says as a burnt offering, to burn him. Rising, rise him as a rise upon one of the mountains, because the mountain is also high and the mountain symbolizes the thought of a man. So rise him above the thought of a man. If you notice, if you celebrate birthdays in kindergarten, what do usually children do in kindergarten when they celebrate their friend's birthday? Don't they take the child that has a birthday on a chair, and the other children are holding the legs of a chair and they sing to this birthday child as happy birthday? Have you experienced this as children? Can you hear me? Can you hear? Yes. Did you experience this in kindergarten, or maybe your children experienced this when they celebrate birthday in kindergarten? One of the children, 3, 4, 5, they put them on a chair, yes, and suddenly all the children are gathering around the child in a circle, and they approach and they hold the legs. Maybe parents are helping to bring the child above or higher because he's a birthday child, yes? So they bring the child above, yes, in the air. And this is the intention, to bring Isaac the laugh. The laughter is above the thought or the brain of a man. The laughter is higher than any thought of a man could conceive. This is the intention. But what Abraham did is another story, and then we have it in the Bible. He couldn't help it, because in his name, yes, there's the code of the brain. Yes, in his name holds the brain. Yes, his name is 248. 248 is Ramach and holds the Moach. Yes, there. He could not help it. Interesting, isn't it? So happy birthday, everyone, today. There's a little birthday kid today, isn't it? Happy birthday to you all from us. Yes, yes. Aurora is 4 years today, yes. Let's celebrate Aurora's birthday. She is 4. Happy birthday, dear Aurora, from all of us. Happy to see you here and hope to hear from you soon under the apple tree when you have the time. Shavu tov lechulam, and happy Jerusalem Day. Today is Jerusalem Day here in Israel, so happy Jerusalem Day for all to see the Jerusalem, Yerushalayim, to see the complete, lirot shalem, to see the complete, yes, from the infinite perspective. So, see you soon. Shalom and shalom. Happy Jerusalem Day.